Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Book 4 of Mere Christianity is titled Beyond Personality, or First Steps in the Doctrine of the Trinity. It's there that C.S. Lewis wrote these words. All sorts of people are fond of repeating the Christian statement that God is love. But they seem not to notice that the words God is love have no real meaning unless God contains at least two persons. Love is something that one person has for another person. If God was a single person, then before the world was made, he was not love. The doctrine of the Trinity distinguishes Christians from every other world religion. And Lewis's statement reveals the magnitude of that separation. While other religions speak of God's love for humanity, or even God being full of love, it is through our understanding of one God in three distinct persons that Christians can make the bold declaration that God doesn't simply love people. He's not just full of something we call love. God is love. The very essence of God is love. And his eternal love must find its origin in the perfect and personal union that exists between the Father and the Son through the Spirit. For as Lewis points out, love cannot exist without an object to love. When we consider the doctrine of the Trinity from a personal and relational perspective, we're reminded that the Bible isn't meant to be read like a scientific textbook. The Bible is a love story. A love story that is revealed in the pages of Holy Scripture, where we meet one God in three distinct persons. Three distinct persons who are one God and who have always existed in this eternal communion of interpersonal love. Now, this morning on Trinity Sunday, many pastors and ministers are going to do their best to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. But just as many are going to do everything they can to avoid it, because it is perhaps the most inexpressible mystery of our faith. You know, it's like St. John in our epistle this morning, trying to find words to describe heaven. Or Nicodemus in the gospel, trying to reason, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We can attempt to bring the holy mystery of the Trinity way down to our level of understanding. But every attempt is going to fall short. For this doctrine, that there is one God in three distinct persons. Three distinct divine persons who are each fully God and who are by nature one God. Well, it's simply beyond human comprehension. I've heard people say that the Trinity is like water in its three forms, steam, liquid, and ice. They've said that the Trinity is like one person with and three relationships. For instance, a woman who is at the same time a mother, a sister, and a daughter. Well, we try, but human illustrations will never describe the indescribable. And human reason will never completely unfold the mysteries of God. So this morning, don't look for a neat, logical answer. Don't take this holy mystery of God that we call the Trinity and try to wrap it all up in a way that's easy to understand. Because this doctrine, it's just a perfect example of how when we try to put God in a box, he's going to kick out the sides every time. So instead of considering every finite human analogy that falls miserably short of describing the infinite and holy creator of heaven and earth, Let's just open the Bible and read his story. The story of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the complete and perfect unity and intention between these three persons as they manifest the love of God, the infinite, indescribable love of God that begins in him and with him, and then through him overflows into the world. Too often, when we open the Bible, our minds go directly to the questions of what and how. We want to know, what is the Trinity? And how am I going to understand this doctrine? Well, as we consider God in three persons this morning, I'd suggest for just a moment we set aside those questions. Set aside the questions of what and how, and just listen to the answer that the Bible provides first. The answer to the question of who. When we open our Bible to the first page, chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Genesis, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The first question is obviously who? And the answer is right there. In the beginning, God. Now listen to verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Verse 1 introduces us to God, and verse 2 is a continuation of this introduction with a vivid image of the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters. And as we continue to read, verse 3 states, "And God said, let there be light." The Word of God spoken in creation. In the first three verses of the Bible, we see a distinction between the God who creates the heaven and the earth, the Spirit of God who moves upon the face of the water, and the Word of God who speaks light into darkness during creation. The Word of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the light of the world, spoke light into darkness at creation. The first question the Bible answers is who? And all three persons are right there in the first three verses of chapter 1. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. On this Trinity Sunday, here's a biblical truth worth remembering. Before any prophecy, before any promise, before the Bible answers any question, the first four words of the Bible answer every question. In the beginning, God. The doctrine of the Trinity is not a dry concept or a philosophical argument. It's the story of God. It tells us that from the beginning, these three distinct divine persons have existed in this eternal relationship. So as we seek to understand our almighty and triune God, we begin to understand him as a God for others. And the perfect way that he loves another, the perfect way that he loves us, is made known to us through his word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With that thought in mind, let's begin again. Once again, set aside the question your mind wants to ask about what and how, and just listen to the answer that the Bible provides first. The answer to the question of who. This time, we open to chapter 1, verse 1 of the Gospel according to St. John. And we read these inspired words. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The Bible begins in the book of Genesis by answering the question of who, and here we find that the gospel of our Savior Christ, according to St. John, begins the same way with the same answer. In the beginning, God. The first few words of this passage echo that creation language that we heard in Genesis, but the focus here is not creation. The primary focus that John has is the eternal relationship between the Father and the Son through the Spirit, a relationship that exists outside of creation. St. John, in a beautiful and powerful way, is describing a relationship that not only existed at the time of creation and throughout our Lord's earthly life and ministry, he's describing a relationship that existed prior to creation, a relationship that has always existed. He's describing a love, an interpersonal love that transcends the limits of time and space and creation. This eternal, transcendent, Trinitarian love of God, it is the well from which we draw our love for God and for neighbor. Due to the fact that God is love, and because he dwells in us and we in him, love is truly the definitive proof. It is the definitive test of our Christian discipleship. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." If we love others, we belong to Christ. If we have not love, to use the words of St. Paul, we have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. In 1 Corinthians, Paul declares that we are nothing without love because we are nothing without God. Who is love? God, who is an eternal trinity of persons, existing in an everlasting communion of interpersonal love. We can't read the Bible like it's a dry, scientific textbook that offers dull, routine answers to the common questions of what and how. The Bible is a love story, a beautiful, heartbreaking love story that offers this answer to the question of who. In the beginning, God. One God in three distinct persons. God the Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God the Son, who in love came down from heaven to lay down his life for his friends. God the Holy Spirit, who grieved as Christ was nailed to the cross, who came like a rushing mighty wind on the day of Pentecost, and who is with us now to the end that we may be drawn into, that we may participate in this eternal communion of interpersonal love. C.S. Lewis is correct. Love is something that one person has for another person. And when we consider the story of our salvation, the Father sending his Son and the Son's freely given sacrifice through the Spirit, well, on this Trinity Sunday, perhaps Lewis would allow us to say that love is not only something one person has for another person. Love is something that one God in three persons has for another person. For God is love, and you are his beloved. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen.